You know those mornings when you need your brain on, but the usual coffee routine just isn't cutting it? Maybe you love your caffeine kick, but not the crash or jitters that come later. If you can relate, maybe it's time to start looking for something different. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high-quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee, but without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, steady energy. What really impressed me are the ingredients, things that support focus, productivity, even gut health, all in one cup. It's like your morning coffee upgraded. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus a peppermint mocha creamer, which is absolutely perfect for the holidays, and over 100 free gifts. Visit everydaydose.com/mess or use mess at checkout.
Christian parenting.
All right, guys, welcome to Pardon the Mess. This is Cynthia Yanoff, and I am thrilled you're praying with us again this week. We're praying for our kids, and in the midst of praying for our kids, we're actually thinking about our own lives, praying for ourselves, our family, our friends. And so let's do it. This week, we're talking about the key to struggling. How do we pray over the struggle that our kids are facing, that we're facing? Psalm 56 is where we're focused. And I'm reading from ESV, but the key verses are 8-9. And these are beautiful, beautiful verses. Let me read these to you and we'll talk about them. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. And I love this beginning part. You have kept count of my tossings. Think of that. Literally, the Lord knows everything you're struggling with, everything you have in the past, everything you will going forward. Like, there's just such comfort in knowing that He sees it and He acknowledges it and He is aware of it. And this metaphor of you put my tears in your bottle, like, think about that, that He's just so intentional that not a tear falls without the Lord knowing it and gathering them. And then he goes on to say, this I know, that God is for me. Just imagine if we could really appreciate and understand that God is for us. How much does that change when we're struggling, change our thought process, change our attitude? Like, if God is for us, I think that's just a completely different perspective. We're in the middle of the struggle, just remembering that. And so David talks about this whole idea of the struggle. What do we do? We're in life's biggest struggles. What's the perspective? How do we trust him? And so I just made a list of a couple of thoughts I've had as I've been praying through this and kind of reading scripture. And so let's talk about what to do when we're struggling and what not to do. And based on that, this is how we're going to pray this week for our kids. And so there's a lot more we could add to this, but here's a couple of thoughts on what to do when we're struggling. One, we need to trust God. Right? We don't need to take things in our own hands. It's so natural to want to take away the sting, to try to fix it, to try to cover any peripheral damage. And so instead, we need to trust God and we need to stand down a lot of times and allow the Lord to do what only He can do. I've been praying that prayer for the last several months of my own life, really deeply praying, Lord, do what only you can do in a situation I'm facing right now. And so we need to trust God. Second one that is hand in hand with that is we need to pray, and we need to pray expectantly. Like, we need to be on our knees praying and assuming and expecting the Lord will answer. And so that's important that we're praying and that we're doing it often. We're praying scripture over ourselves, over our kids, not just abstractly, but literally digging in God's word and praying the promises of God over our family. If you don't have a Bible promise book, which I realize I'm saying that and like totally dating myself, but if you don't, grab one. I have several different ones. I don't think there's any right one, but I just go and I find topically whatever we're going through and I just start praying those scriptures over my family. Okay, so we're going to pray and we're going to pray expectantly. And then the third, what to do, we're trust God, pray expectantly. Number three, we are going to have community in our lives. I think that is a critical component. And listen, if you're not in the midst of a big struggle now, this is when you build that community. it's really hard when you're in the struggle to get out and find the community sometimes because you're struggling. And so we can do that in times maybe where we are in a period of relief and we aren't struggling as much. The community matters, and we want community of people that know and love the Lord. I think that is really important. And you know who those people are, and you know who those people aren't. That's the next thing I want to talk about, is guarding our hearts. But we want to have community around us, people that love us, that will pray for us, that can give us perspective. And we want that for our kids. And then the fourth thing is guard your heart. And when I say guard your heart, I think it's really important when we're struggling. We know the things that are kind of triggers, the things that are hard for us that make it worse. I'll give you an example in my life. When I've been struggling through certain things, I either have to get off social altogether, or I have to block certain people on social. And I don't even necessarily mean like people I know on a personal level. Sometimes it's influencers. Sometimes it's even other big Christian famous people that I follow or whatever, because when it starts looking like everything's going well for them and I'm struggling, then that puts me in a place I don't need to be, makes me question God. I don't believe God is for me, some of that. And a lot of that can be cured if I just am very careful and I guard my heart on what voices I allow into my life. That's what we want for our kids too. We want our kids in these times of struggle, we want to guard their hearts. And maybe that's a season where they don't need to be in certain friendships. Maybe they don't need to try out for certain teams, whatever that looks like. But we want to guard their hearts the best we can and ask the Lord to do that. And so those are the things we can pray in struggling. One, that we trust the Lord. We don't take things in our hand, that our kids don't either, that they wait on the Lord. Two, that we have community around us. Our kids have people around them that will point them back to Him, that we pray expectantly for the Lord to do what only He can do, and that we guard our hearts. Okay, what not to do when you're struggling. This is a good thing, a good list to talk about, and I can write this list well because I have struggled and done it wrong so many times, and there's many more things we could add to this, but can I just share with you some of the things that I've done wrong? And so let's pray this for our lives and for our kids. What not to do when you're struggling: do not box God into the provision that we think is His provision. Let's not box God into the answers that it's going to have to look this way. This is the only way to get me out of this. This is the only way to solve the struggle is X, Y, or Z, because that's not typically how God works. And we're going to miss it if we box God in, or we're going to be disappointed because we have these expectations it's going to look a certain way. I think about this in the lives of my kids. I'm going to give you kind of a shallow example, but hopefully makes the point. I remember praying for one of my kids in particular to be included in a friend group. I really believed that this kid would do well in that friend group. I liked the parents. I liked the kids. I prayed and prayed and prayed for my child to be involved in this friend group because I thought it would be a good one. And my child was never included. And I mean, painfully not included, over and over and over. And as time wore on, I realized that is absolutely not the friend group my kid needed to be in. Not because there's anything wrong with those kids, but they did make some decisions that would not gel with what our family does and how we do life. I also realized that with this child's personality, that group really would have crushed my child. And so I realized that what felt like punishment that the Lord was not answering was actually provision. And I say that over and over and over again in my parenting, so many places that felt like punishment to me or to my kids. It was God's provision. So let's not box God into what we think the answer needs to be. Same for our kids. Pray that they don't have expectations of how God's going to answer. Second of all, become bitter. Do not become bitter. Let's not become bitter, and let's pray our kids not become bitter in the struggle. It's so easy to do that. I find that in my own life that I can struggle very quickly with bitterness, especially towards individuals when I feel like I've been treated wrongly, especially with believers. And that's not God's best for us. I was listening to a sermon recently that Louis Giglio preached, and I was listening to on a podcast, and he talked about Joseph's life. And you know how Joseph was sold into slavery, and then he gets in Potiphar's house and he gets put in prison, and all these things happen. And this baker promises, after Joseph interprets his dream, the baker says, "I'm going to make sure Potiphar knows, and so that you get put in a place of esteem." And he forgets to say anything. And so there Joseph sits in jail even longer. And Louis Giglio talks about how once Joseph was given a position of authority and his brothers finally came back to him. Like, Joseph wasn't bitter. It wasn't any of this like, hey, by the way, let me tell everybody, the baker sold me out. He never said what I did to help him. Or, hey, my brother sold me into slavery. What about that, man? That seemed, there was none of that. Like, he just acknowledged that this is where God had him. This is how God got him there. And this is where God wanted him to be. This wasn't done to him. It was for him. There was not a bitterness. And I think I've needed to receive those words a lot, that don't question the path the Lord used. He's if we are following him, if our kids are following him, if we're seeking him as family, we don't need to question the path. There may be some hard things. We don't have to question that. Let's just trust him with the end result of how he's getting us to where he wants us to be. So that's my second one of what not to do. Don't become bitter. And then here's my third one. Don't miss God in the struggle. We read this psalm, and David, like 100% in Psalm 56, he wants to be delivered from his problems, not just for personal relief, but also so that he can talk of God's strength and he can promote the Lord. But he also knows this. He understands what you and I need to understand, and we pray that our kids understand that in the struggles where we grow, and in the struggles where we see the new versions of God, in the struggles where we have our most authentic worship, I believe. And it's in that struggle where God opens these great God-ordained opportunities we wouldn't have had otherwise. And so I have a quote in the prayer journal. Louis Giglio says, faith thrives in the holy discomfort. The greatest moments in life can often result from some of the most uncomfortable decisions being made. Nothing worth having comes without a cost. Yeah, nothing worth having comes without a cost. God is there in the struggle, so don't miss him in the middle of it. Let me go back to my foster care story that I kind of started with. And if you've been around these parts long and listened to my podcast, then you know some of this. But foster care was the very hardest thing I think I've walked through. And a lot of that is because of the unknown and the uncertainty and us being in love with this child and feeling like at any moment, and the reality was at any moment, he could be taken away. And not just taken away from us, but put in a place that we have every reason to believe would not have been safe for him. And it was just gut-wrenching. And we would just get decisions from courts or CPS workers. All the information that came in was not good information, like not good, meaning not favorable. And during that struggle, I really felt the Lord over and over and over again tell me, like, I'm not subject to court decisions. I'm not subject to what CPS workers say or what the law is in the state of Texas or any of that. Like, I am over this. I love this child more than you love this child. I can be trusted. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that meant he would stay or go, but I had to realize that he can be trusted. And that's it with our kids. Like, right? It's so gut-wrenching when you watch them struggle in the hard places, but the Lord can be trusted. As David said in Psalm 56, he's for us. And when you know that, you can trust him. It changes how you look at the things you're walking through. And I say this ad nauseum, but you know, we went into foster care scared to death of what it would do to our family, the roads we'd have to walk. What would that mean financially? What would that mean emotionally? What would that mean physically? On every respect, what would that mean for our family? We were scared. And we came out of foster care scared of who we'd be if we hadn't done it. And I know you've probably heard me say that, but I mean it with every ounce of my being. We are changed people because of the struggle. And the Lord is good and he is for us, and I've seen it. And being for us doesn't mean there isn't struggle. In fact, we most see that he's for us in the midst of the struggle. So my prayer is don't pray against the struggle. Don't pray that your kids are sheltered completely from the struggle. In the midst of it is where we get these glimpses of God. We know him in ways we never would have before. He opens new doors, gives us new testimonies. And so this week, as you're praying for your kids, and I will pray for us in just a minute, we're going to pray this, that when we struggle, we're going to do these things. We're going to trust God. We're going to pray expectantly. And we're going to pray community around our kids that love them and point them to the Lord. What we're not going to do, and we don't want our kids to do, is we're not going to box God in to how we think the resolution needs to be. We're not going to become bitter, and we're not going to miss God in the struggle. And so this week, we're praying through the struggle. So many of you are facing him. I know that. I hear you. So many of you have emailed me in the last several weeks. I say email, actually messaged me on Instagram, and it has been beautiful. The things you've shared, y'all are walking some really, really hard roads, and I hear you and I see you in that. And I'm praying with you. I also know that in the struggle, the Lord is doing mighty things with each of you. And so it's just such an honor and privilege to be a part of that. And again, you can message me anytime on Instagram or Facebook, and I will pray with you. And I'm just so grateful that even in these hard places that we can do it together. So let me today read with us our psalm, and then I'm going to read it for us, and then I'll pray. Be gracious to me, O God, for a man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me, for many attack me proudly. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape, and wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. And God, whose word I praise, and the Lord, whose word I praise, and God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thanks offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Oh Lord, what beautiful words. What can man do to me? Lord, that is true. There's nobody and nothing, Lord, that can touch us, that you don't have dominion over, you don't have control over, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for us this week as we walk through those days of struggle. Some of us in this very moments are struggling, Lord, with kids, hard things with our kids, with our families, our marriages, our finances. Lord, I pray right now in this moment, anyone who's listening to this, Lord, that's walking a deep struggle, that they feel your presence, that they know, Lord, that you love them. You are for us. You count our tears. You put them in a bottle. You know, Lord, the intricacies of what we're facing, and you're for us. And Lord, you win. Always you win. And so give us glimpses of that right now, Lord. I pray for our kids who are walking hard places right now. I pray for every child represented by every person listening in this moment. Whatever our kids are walking, whatever the struggle is, Lord, whether we know it or not, you know it. Lord, give them peace and confidence. Lord, help them to trust you in these hard places they're facing. Lord, help them to pray and come to you and come with expectation. Lord, let them see that you answer prayer. Let them taste your faithfulness. I pray they have community around them that loves them and brings them towards you, Lord. And I pray that in the midst of struggle, for our kids and for us as well, Lord, that we don't become bitter, that we don't box you into the answer we think is right, Lord, that we trust you with whatever the outcome is. And Lord, don't let us miss you in the struggle. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for caring for us, Lord. Thank you for being in the midst of the hardest places we walk and for redeeming that. In your name we pray, amen. All right, that's the key to struggling. Next week we're praying identity. Woo. It's a big one. And then the last week is walking with God. So I'm so grateful, you guys, that we're doing this together. We know your days are busy. As always, thank you for joining us as we pardon the mess.